Good evening and welcome to the Rabbi Yosef Kalter Bitoch Message Series, sponsored by Dr. and Mrs. David and Orly Simai, as a schus for Zivik Yaakov Aaron ben Rochel, and for Shlema Yom ben Sora, the Morche ben Sora, the Nishmas, Malka Bas Rav Chaim Yitzchok, Rav Shlema Chaim Rav Chaim Yitzchok, Elio Chaim Rav Chaim Yitzchok, Oren ben Moshe, and Isha Gittel Bas Rav Eliezer Manoach. We're always looking for ways to inspire ourselves and to inspire our children. Inspiration is always fading. It's in and out. It's here today and gone, sometimes tomorrow, sometimes the next day, sometimes a few minutes after it came in. So always looking for additional lasting or repetitive, but yet non-repetitive, because repeating the same thing over and over again sometimes just gets boring and nobody wants really to pay attention to it. Ways to inspire bitochon in our children, in ourselves. One of the ways that we have to deal with this issue is to remove impediments from the bitochon process. You know, sometimes one of the biggest impediments to the bitochon process is we need a miracle. And some people mistakenly quote, "Ein soch chalanes," you can't rely on a miracle. Ein soch chalanes does not mean that you can't rely on a miracle, that a miracle will happen. It means you can't rely on a miracle without doing ishtadlus. Hashem didn't want us to rely on miracles, but oftentimes we have bitochon that the only way out of here is a miracle, and it'll be a miracle. And oftentimes we think there's going to be a need for a miracle when there really isn't. And that's what I would like to focus a little bit on this evening. I want to tell you a little story. A story of Hashgacha Pratis, but a story of Hashgacha Pratis, which I think has a very special insight, which can help us and which we can find in many other things as well. I knew a Jew in Los Angeles many years ago. He was an eighth generation descendant of the Vilna Goyen. I actually had a copy of the Yichus brief. He was eighth generation from the Vilna Goyen. Very fine, very highly intelligent person. He told me the following story. He said, when he was a young man, 17, 18, something like that, it was just the beginning of the Bolshevik or the middle of the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. And his father, it happened to be, was a very close associate, confidant, a close person with the Tsar. Of course, when the Bolsheviks came in, they were just there to turn everything upside down and, you know, uproot the whole Tsar and the system that existed before. And they had it in for the Mekurovim, for those that were close to the Tsar. So one day he comes home and he sees his mother against the wall with a couple of thugs in the house and a bayonet, which has, you know, the rifle with the knife at the end, pointed at her neck. The knife is right by her neck. And they were threatening her, you know, because I guess of her father's association, of her husband's association with the Tsar. He jumps in to try to save his mother. And of course, these guys, they were bigger than he was. There were a few of them against one of him. And they overpowered him. And they took him out. And they conducted some mock tribunal and decided that he deserved the death penalty for interfering with the revolution. That was a crime that they deemed punishable by death. And the next morning, they were going to shoot him. Comes the next morning, and one of the people there at their headquarters, wherever it was, says, "I would like to do the shooting." Okay, takes out the rifle. He walks him out to the courtyard, wherever, and he's standing there, you know. That's it. He's being shot to death. All of a sudden, this young man who was holding this rifle looks him in the face and says, "Do you recognize me?" So he says, "No." He says, "A few years ago, we were in high school together, and I didn't have any money. You gave me some money to get a shirt, get a haircut," I think he said. "I want to pay you back run for your life. And of course, he ran. Many other things happened to him, but Lamaisa, he was saved. And I knew him when he was already an old man. Now, beautiful story, Hashgocha Pratis, no question about it. But when we think about it, there's a very profound lesson. This man is standing in front of someone who ostensibly is ready to end his life for him. No hope. He needs a miracle. He needs a miracle. And a nes golui, and nothing short of a nes golui will be able to help him. And yet, it wasn't really true. Because a few years ago, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was already Mesader, the Refuah and the Yeshua, Koidim L'Makom. And in reality, he didn't need a Nes Golui, because there was a Nes Nistor that was hidden, was in the works, took place a few years ago, which was all planned and calculated and orchestrated to save his life at this moment. So sometimes we're in a matzah where we think it's fulfilled, it's gone, it's finished, it's desperate, there's no hope. I need an Nes Golui and an Nes Golui. Mistakenly, we say Ein Soim Chanal Nes, which at this point is not true. Because Chazal say, Afilu Cherev Chodom Unachas Al Tzavoro Yishel Odom Al Yimna Atzma Yisya Yishtach Min Arachem. Even there could be a sharp sword that's at the back of his neck. Do not be meyayish, or do not withhold the possibility of rachamim. So Hashem, the last minute Hashem does. We say, oh, but I need such a miracle. I can't imagine such a miracle. But I certainly can't put my trust in such a miracle because it's too miraculous. It's too much of an upheaval of teva. It's too absurd to happen. The last moment he's standing there ready to shoot him. And yet, not really. It's really a hidden miracle. It's really like all the other hidden miracles, because Hashem had provided the resolution, the results, the Yeshua, the Refuah, Koidim L'Makom. And if we're aware of this, it makes the difficulties and the challenging difficulties of life and the threatening difficulties of life and the difficulties of life that seem overwhelming and so impossible, and that nothing short of a Nes Goli will save us. It ain't necessarily so. Because quite often, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has already been Mesader, the end game, the end result, that what we say needs now a Nes Golui. No, it's almost Kederach HaTeva. It's a Nes Nistor, it's Nes. Certainly no Teva there. But it happens in such a way. And when we're in dire need, it's almost impossible to imagine the Yeshua. Stop. The Yeshua is on the way. The Yeshua has been already established. As Rabbi Avigdor Miller Zichrono Livracha said the pshat in the posuk, Shuvi nafshi l'mluchoichi, ki Hashem goma l'loichi. And David HaMelech seems to be talking to his nefesh. He says, my nefesh, calm down. Return to your rest. Hashem is goma. Hashem has taken care of it. If Hashem has taken care of it, Loshen Ovar Gomal, in the past tense, then why does he have to tell his nefesh to calm down? The nefesh should be calm. Everything's been taken care of. The tzara has been alleviated. So Rabbi Miller said, no, it's been taken care of. It's Gomal, but it's in the mail. Hashem took care of it, but he hasn't delivered it yet. The mailman hasn't brought it. So very often in life, when we're faced with the most overwhelming problem, and we feel it's beyond human imagination how we need such a nest to get us out of this. No, don't fret. Because very often, it's all been taken care of way back in the past. And I have another such incident, a personal one, which occurred to my family many years ago. I've shared it here a while back, but I don't think recently. We were living in Los Angeles, in the San Fernando Valley. It was summer, early 80s, and my daughter was in a day camp. She had to go to the city to day camp, and it was about 10:30 at night, and she asks her poor father, poor I say, you know, quotes, but has dual meanings, says, I need 75 cents to buy a soda. going on a trip tomorrow in the day camp, and you know, it's very hot in the LA area, and I want to buy a soda. And her poor father says, I don't have 75 cents. She wasn't too happy with that response, but she says, well, what should I do? Well, you should sit down and say Tehillim. She says, okay. Was very skeptical about her father's sagacious advice. But she sits down with her younger sister and is saying Tehillim. Right in the middle, she stops. She says, I don't understand. It's 10:30 at night. I have to leave tomorrow morning at 7:30. You don't have the money. What's this going to help? Little kid says, maybe somebody will think they have to give you some kind of stuff. Who knows? Nothing. She goes without the money. She comes back with a story. A friend of hers who was in her class at the Purim Carnival, so that's about 4 months earlier, borrowed 75 cents from her. They had both forgotten about it, never mentioned it, never remembered about it. That morning, she wakes up. She says, I owe the Kohen girl 75 cents. And she brings it to camp. She had the money that she didn't get from her poor father. Now, when you think about it, when you think about it, look what's happening over there. It's very interesting. There's a problem. Where's the money? You don't have the money. So you're going to have the money at 7:30 in the morning. You're going to sleep and then I have to leave early. But Kodesh Baruch Hu took care of it 4 months before. She lent money to someone. The girl forgot about it. They both forgot about it. Then she remembered that morning. She wakes up that morning. She brings it to camp. I'm returning the money. She brought it up. She would never have thought of asking her. That was the story. I think we have to realize, we have to teach our children and remind ourselves that oftentimes when a situation seems beyond and the only thing that's going to help us is a nes golui, oftentimes it's all been taken care of already. It's been done. It's been taken care of. The answer has been set in motion, and yes, it's an es nisra, it's a hidden miracle, but it's there, and it's easy. It happens. It's been planned a long time before. Of course, for my children, they learn many lessons from this. Hashem cares about 75 cents. Hashem cares about whether I have a soda or not on a hot day in Los Angeles. And Tehillim and Tefillah helps. And in this particular situation, it didn't do machzor. She got the full 75 cents. So I think that we have to find such incidences, find such stories, pay attention to these events, and really internalize them and internalize the message that under the most difficult circumstances, we can still have bitoch, because the difficulty of the circumstance and the seeming need for a blatant miracle, an es nigla, is not necessarily so. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu oftentimes has orchestrated the resolution well before the problem even arrived. Gute Nacht.